So, Brian DeShazer, are you ready? I talked to John and he
Hello.
said Brian after you.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Brian DeShazer, and I'm the director of the Pacifica Radio Archive since I've been in the archive since the 1998. And it's now the year 2007. And as we go into the last quarter of FY07, the Archives has a strengthened vision to preserve Pacifica's broadcast legacy and ensure its place in the recorded history, the history record. And as I talk more about what our activities are and our accomplishments and our problems and our challenges, I want you to understand that with the last half of the 20th century, there's something that's missing in history, and it's what Pacifica has contributed to that historic record. As we go into developing the 1968 preservation project that will be launched in January for the year 2008, the 40th anniversary of some of the most major events of the 20th century, Pacifica's resources were never used in books that were written about 1968. I have them. I've got the World Almanac. I have Todd Gitlin's book. I have a number of books about that era when it was so important, but yet the resources, when I look in the bibliography, none of the materials of Pacifica, none of those interviews, none of these documentaries are used by the authors. That's a travesty. And what we're talking about is the historic record of our country beyond our own lifetimes. What will be remembered? If we don't do something now, we will not be remembered. The organization that we are so passionate about will not be remembered. When radio eventually dies and becomes something else, Pacifica will not be remembered unless we do something right now. And that's what we're doing. We're doing something right now. we have a preservation and access project. This is a long-term goal and project that is funded partly by organizations like the National Endowment for the Arts, the Ford Foundation, and the Grammy Foundation, and the Pacifica station listeners and individuals who adopt tapes as tapes individually to be preserved. So from the vault, the radio series that we produce, we're now in our second year. We have 64 weekly programs that have already been produced and distributed through the Pacifica network. But in September, From the Vault will be expanding its audience. And in September of 2007, the BBC Radio 5 is going to be re-envisioning the From the Vault for a UK audience. What this means to the Pacifica Archives and to Pacifica is that this transatlantic sharing of talent and material will further highlight the work of the Pacifica Radio Network to a UK audience. As part of BBC Radio 5's Up All Night, From the Vault will be included in a four-hour world news and current affairs show with contributions from correspondents around the world. More than 500,000 listeners and the BBC Radio 5 website listeners of over 7 million will be introduced to the rich broadcast history of Pacifica Radio. Pacifica Radio Archives will welcome BBC journalist and program producer Joanne Griffith to the archives, who will produce the program for the UK audiences. So if you think about Bertrand Russell in 1959 on Pacifica Radio in a speech called The Nuclear Morality, the UK audience did not know that the American public heard Bertrand Russell speak about nuclear morality. And it's in this intention, in this project, in collaboration with BBC Radio, that will invite an international listener to Pacifica Radio, not only in our national programming, but as the From the Vault culls from local programming from over 58 years of materials, we actually are raising the level of local programming to an international level of almost 50 years later. What this also means is revenue. If we're touching 7 million web listeners, and if we're touching 500,000 listeners weekly, we can only market and promote better. If we market and promote better, we can enjoy revenue that will help us continue our intentions of preserving the materials.
Can we clap now?
Please. All right, so that's From the Vault. Now, the 1968 anniversary project, the Preservation and Access Project, we've identified over 350 tapes that have either already been preserved through previous grants or are now in Philadelphia right now being preserved and transferred to digital media. These materials have never been listened to since 1968. And the, hold on just a second. The programs that we've identified relating to the assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Robert Kennedy, Medgar Evers, the anti-Vietnam War movement, the Chinese Cultural Revolution, the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia, the French student revolt, the Columbia University student strike, the Black Panther Party movement, just to name a few, are included in these tapes that we will be launching. How are these going to be heard next year? How will the listener be accessing these important programs? We're going to be producing 200 one-minute public service announcements to be distributed through our Pacifica network and beyond, to academia, to media journalists, to commercial and non-commercial venues. The project still in development will include multi-platform distribution of Pacifica's material to the international audience. During this PNB meeting, the Operations Council came together and developed the network project beyond the preservation project so that the stations are already buying into the fact that there will be public service announcements, quarterly specials, encore presentations, a re-envisioning of the programming. For instance, Sasha Lilly from KPFA suggested that if this was the year that rocked the world, we should do a travelogue. We should visit Mexico City in 1968. We should visit Paris in 1968 and find out what the world was really about and see how relevant it is today. Actually, I'd like to take a question or two, if I may, while I take a moment to think.
I have a question.
Sure.
What are the rights granted to the BBC in this program? In other words, you're giving them some of your best stuff. They then have rights of distribution without limit, or is it limited distribution? What are the terms of the contract?
They don't distribute. They're just broadcasting it and airing it on the website. So
it's permanently archived up on their website?
No, program? It's not permanently.
Goes up temporarily, right, and then is drawn down?
Right, that's correct.
Okay, so they didn't get essentially any distribution rights along with the program other than the airing and the posting?
That's correct. And what's also exciting is that the transatlantic sharing of talent and information means that the UK audience will have access to our archive. What we're really fortunate about in Joanne Griffith coming to the archive's offices from BBC on the BBC's dime is that we now will have access to the BBC Radio's archive and contacts. So ultimately, we are going international in terms of what kind of materials we're able to access and then continue to produce.
And just to follow with that, so if we have that access and we fold it into our programming, like programmers here use it or people use it, are we getting the rights from here on out to use that content and programming into which it's been incorporated, or will there be restrictions on our distribution rights if we've used some of their content in our stuff?
We haven't gotten that far. Basically, right now, we're going to be producing 6 programs, which is the BBC series, starting in September, and basically we'll see how it goes. We don't really know what they have, so I don't really know what I want to do with it.
Rick.
Brian, when you use the word access, I think there may be some confusion. When we say we have access to it, are we able to, we're going to be able to listen to something, or we're able to have something?
Right. The Pacifica Radio Archives will have access to the information and we'll be able to utilize the materials within our own programming. When I say access, it doesn't mean that we'll be able to listen to it or put it up on, you know, in a...
Right. Oh, okay. I think that's a word that's confusing.
Okay.
In the use of that.
All right.
Rob.
Brian, the BBC is going to be working with you with archival material from what particular years, or is that not yet determined?
Right now, basically what they're interested in is British personalities and British visionaries and thinkers on how Americans heard them. So right now we're actually working with Bertrand Russell material.
Christopher Isherwood, people like that.
Right, right. Okay. But that's only the start of it. You know, what they might not know is that there's other stuff in there. You know, like I said, in terms of 1968, they don't really know that stuff yet. So even though it's not British, you know, we're going to be working with Joanne to sort of infuse those into the programming.
Okay. Just to focus, if I could focus for a minute on the 1968 material. Those are all the archives that you have from 1968. How much of that has been preserved, and how much of it has been, you know, digitized, as it were, and how much of that, when you talk about the 1968 stuff, you're going to be producing stuff, but how much of that is accessible to right. programmers now if they wanted to build on what you're doing with the materials that are right. there?
You know, what we talked about with the Operations Council was not only what we produce in public service announcements or quarterly specials or encore presentations, but the real jewel of this material is to make sure that it's an active resource for anybody, whether it's right. Pacifica programmers or academics or journalists or whatever. What I do know is that, whether they know it or not yet, next year, media journalists, academics, radio producers, television producers will need this material to, you know, revisit 1968.
Right, so of the material that we have, how much of it is completely preserved and digitized, or how much of that is in the works?
Right, and I would say probably about 350 tapes after this project is finished, which will be coming next week, I believe, we'll be getting all the materials back. That will bring us to about 350 programs of importance. There are a lot of other materials from 1968 in there, but we didn't identify them as the things that we thought should be distributed that people would want.
So that's not audio resource material, that could be photographs or folios or...
Right. What we actually want to do, we're getting whereweyouin68.org as part of a project to do an interactive way so people can post photographs, post where they were in 68. Basically, what I want is a questionnaire. Where were you when you heard that Dr. King was assassinated? Where were you when you heard of the Mexico City Olympics situation? So hopefully we'll be able to gather information as well as distribute it. In terms of the audio clips, the PSAs are 1 minute. We'll be doing 2 minutes as well. But the materials will basically be distributed so that anybody can use them either in small formats or large formats for their own programming.
But how much actual tape do we have of programs, or how many programs do we have from 1968, and how much of that has been preserved and is digitally available now that's on CDs? Or
I must say that's kind of a dream answer. I mean, the question is, you're asking me to tell you how many tapes are in the archives that are identified as 1968 completely?
I'm just curious, of the archival materials that you have from 1968.
Mm-hmm. I answered this already. Okay. About 350 okay. programs have been preserved from the year 1968.
And how much of the stuff? He's asking how much of the stuff that you want to use have you not yet had a chance to get to, if any?
If I remember correctly, when I did the original database search, there were probably about 700 or 800 programs that identified from 1968. Some have already been preserved, like the Black Panther Party Movement project with UC Berkeley. That was done back in 2003. We did the anti-Vietnam War era recordings, many of 1968. The NEA project from years ago, we identified materials. So as we're gathering all of those lists together, we'll have about 350 that will have been digitized for digital distribution. Now, does that really answer your question?
I have a sense of what you're telling me, yes.
Oh, okay, good. All right, so I think I also want to talk about the archives fund drive days and the funding. You know, what's really critical is that since Pacifica became this democratic organization, and since the $5 million debt that we had in 1999-2000, as we've been working, you know, what the archives has been burdened with, actually, is the responsibility to raise our own funds. On this archive fund drive day that has happened 4 years now, that's a third of our budget. A third of our revenue is on the shoulders of myself and the archive staff. So what I've understood is that the KPFA local station board passed a resolution that would restrict the archives from a second day of fundraising. That's a huge blow. And I got to tell you, the staff is pretty upset about it. Not because KPFA is protecting itself, but that I don't believe that whoever passed the motion or introduced the motion they didn't have a Pacifica Archives representative to explain to them the importance of this fundraiser. No, it's not about us making more money so that we have more money. It's about raising revenue for the archives that offsets the responsibility that the stations and the organization has to do to get this work done. You know, we're not the same budget as we were 10 years ago. The problems are bigger. They are exponentially bigger. We have a $650,000 budget that we're presenting this year for next year, and I would say it's probably a quarter of the budget that we really need to get the work done. And I find it egregious that a station without collaboration with the archives to understand what we're doing would pass a motion that would restrict itself from raising money from its own listeners. And I must say, even beyond that, the Bay Area and Fresno represent probably about 40% of that funding on those 2 days. And I would actually put out there that it is the responsibility and obligation of the station to allow those listeners the opportunity to decide for themselves if they're going to give the money to the archives in addition to the money that they give to KPFA, or it's their actual decision to give the money to the archives for this project instead of KPFA, which I would never really want.
Brian, the dynamic is bigger than that. In terms of every one of those motions, it was not taken in a larger context, recognizing the way the budgets work. So.
Right. Well, thank you. So actually, the staff in the archives and myself were past the deadline of actually trying to produce these days in November 27 and 28. We should already be working to decide what the program is going to sound like. Who are the guests are we going to have? What is the theme? Now, for me, the theme is we're previewing the 1968 project. We're showing that what the archives is doing is what will be heard throughout the year in 2008. And it's a contribution not only to Pacifica listeners, but to the world audience of history. Again, what will be remembered? Books are written all the time about the subjects that Pacifica has covered, and we're not a resource? That's egregious as well. And I must say that I can't let the archives go without ensuring its place in history. All right. Thank you. Actually, I think that's pretty much all I have to say. There's a lot more in the written report that will be posted on the website so people can see more detail about what we're doing. I'd like to congratulate Nani Singer, one of the Front of the Vault producers, that won a certificate of recognition as a finalist in the New York Festivals of International Radio Broadcasting, competing with commercial and non-commercial radio. Studs Terkel, The Spoken Century, in collaboration with Studs Terkel, was acknowledged as a program of quality. So congratulations to Ms. Singer for bringing that project to the archives and seeing it through.
Okay. We have some questions. Sarv had a question, then Rip. Okay. Actually, Wendy hasn't spoken yet, so Wendy, then Rip.
Well, I was just looking at this report, and it says that your board committee, the archives committee, is having trouble reaching quorum. And now that it's a task force, I'm telling you that I'm going to volunteer to be on it.
That's great. Thank you. I guess I also wanted to say, in terms of this LSB and the fund drive days, you know, when I say it's part burden and part celebration of the archives, the burden is that invisible work that the archives does, you know, the stuff, the archival work, the profession of archiving that is done, is getting offset by these months of having to raise revenue. So, you know, it is indeed our pleasure to present what we think is important for the listeners to understand about the archives. But it also, I think that it's important that the archives has is given the opportunity to explore other revenue streams, like the BBC. You know, how are we going to market and promote what we're doing to the UK audience? How are we going to draw those listeners in? And I've said this many times at board meetings. You know, the Pacifica listener is not the only person that should be connected to these archives. So it's my intention, again, to get out there into this country. If it goes door to door, if I go to library to library, I'm going to let the people know out there that the archives needs to be supported beyond what just the Pacifica listener will do. So I look forward to working with the new executive director and Lonnie, the CFO, to make sure that some of these revenue streams that we're exploring and experimenting with aren't just quick fixes or band-aids, or try it and if it fails, that's the end of it. You know, in development, you know, it, as we're raising money, it's a development department that we really are becoming, yet we don't have any funding that really surrounds development. So we're really going to have to take a hard look at this budget. It's not the same, you know, we're not the same flavor as we used to be. The budget that is in form of a station, you know, the station budget format, doesn't really apply all the time to the archives. We really do have to concentrate to figure out how we're going to get from $657,000 to $1.5 million so that the archive can do this work. You've heard about our equipment breaking down. Did you know that we only have one machine to play back these reel-to-reel tapes to transfer them? As of, you know, and one machine is not going to do 50,000 tapes. Not in our lifetimes. It's not enough. So, you know, it's not enough for me to say we need more money and give it to us, because I understand the burden that the stations have and I understand the burden that the foundation has. But unless we actually recognize and work with me diligently to create this development within the archives and extend its reach, then it's not going to happen.
Okay. Rip.
What I'd like to say to, and this is kind of something I've said at a number of meetings, the people of this country want this material. It's the responsibility of the five stations to take care of this material. But if the five stations are not going to take care of this material, the people of this country need this material and want this material. So somehow the foundation has to address this. And I'd like to remind everyone of the motion of, that was passed last September in Walnut Creek, A.C. Byrd's motion. And what that motion did was try to take a concrete step, a difficult step. It's a tough step for the stations. The station managers are busy running businesses of their own. I understand that. But the foundation has a responsibility and an obligation to preserve this material for the people of this country, and somehow we need to make that material available. And if we're not going to do it, then somebody else is. Other organizations are moving very quickly to make their material, their archives, available. And, you know, I'd just like to say that the motion was not acted upon because of two suppositions. One was that a second day of fundraising last November at the five stations would, in fact, raise the funds for this that would offset this. Just as a reminder, there was a $25,000 per station assessment. It was voted unanimously. There were no objections and no abstentions on this motion. None. It was passed unanimously. Okay. Number two, that special fundraising activities, and what was suggested was there was going to be a cruise from L.A. to a port in Mexico, and that that cruise was going to raise the equivalent funds for the stations to offset this assessment. At this time, neither of these actions have produced the amount of supplemental emergency support needed to save these audio archives. As other organizations move to market their historical assets, Pacifica continues to postpone needed action and rely on the archives director to independently raise revenue without foundation support. The makers of this motion hereby request that the two executives of the foundation immediately begin steps to demonstrate compliance with this motion and schedule substantive and timely meetings with the appropriate personnel to bring the mandates of this motion into compliance. Would my co-sponsors on the on this motion agree with my sentiment?
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay, it's open for debate. Assuming we don't want to spend... Actually, this is really new business, and we're doing a report for the...
I actually didn't make a motion.
Huh?
I really didn't make a motion, did I?
Okay. I'm sorry,
what
my mistake.
What I did was that I did hereby request, but if there's any... I don't want it to be a motion.
If you wanted to make it as a formal motion, we can do it tomorrow during new business. We should use this time now to talk to Brian.
That's exactly right, and I would say that we don't need to make a motion on this. The motion was already approved, and I'm just asking that there be some enforcement of this.
Evelyn.
Ready? First of all, I'd just like to thank Brian for last night. It was wonderful and very informative. I was very happy to have been able to view something that I love so much. And I would like to just say that when KPFT decided to do Black History Month this year, that you were a critical part of us being able to have some of the best programming in the history of that station. And it's now available to be downloaded, and there have been many requests for a lot of the programming that we were able to put together, which we could not have done without your assistance. And when I called you, you and your staff were extremely helpful. I didn't know how to do stuff on audio port. Somebody called and stepped me through it graciously.
I didn't even know that.
Yes. And they heard the panic in my voice, I guess. And because it was stuff we were doing in the middle of the night and when everybody could get into the station to do the voicing and things like that, you even FedExed a package to me to make sure that we got it in time. And I'm very appreciative of that. But that is just an example of the value that we have, because what he sent to us, there was nowhere else. There was nowhere else that we could have gotten the material that was sent to us, because we searched for it. And if we allow that type of material to just deteriorate, it's gone forever. And somehow we have to get it. We have to move post haste to do those things that we can't recover. If it goes away, it's just gone. And it's a very valuable asset for Pacifica. And it's something that we have that we could leverage. We keep talking about how much money we don't have. Yet we have all of these invaluable assets that can bring money into Pacifica that we are not utilizing at the level that we could if we would just, you know, put our heads down and push forward. And we agreed to do this. We agreed unanimously to make an effort to do this. And we haven't done one thing to move this forward. And I know that Lonnie is cringing. He's probably over there chewing on his nails. But you were with us on this, so you can't back out now. And we have to figure out how to make this happen, because we don't get a second chance if it goes away. It's not like we can create 1968. We can't do it. So I'm just saying that in the midst of everything that we're trying to figure out, this has to be a top priority. And we have to do what we agreed to do. Too many times we say okay and then we don't do it. This cannot be one of those times.
Point of order. Yes, Michael.
My anxiety levels tell me that we're not going to get through Sunday. And are we limiting this to 2 minutes?
We'll limit comments to 2 minutes. AC, then Ray, I'd like to say something as well.
Yeah, I just want to second what Rip and Evelyn has just said, because the three of us were co-chairs on that motion. And I think that we can't afford to lose history nor lose the interpretation of it. It seems that we got a lot of revisionist history going on in the United States today on most things that, and we couldn't have a better set of materials to interpret and to monitor history as it goes forward than we do have at the archives. Because I know that I have personally at PFW had Paul Robeson, W.B. Du Bois, and also Stud Terkel, and just about everyone that you can think about. Even I have Lena Hoyne right down the middle. I've gotten materials from the archives to present on the air, and all of them have gotten wide applause that we've had. So I just think that I would agree with the two of them that we really need to make this a priority and work it out, you know, to sustain this treasure. This is a national and historical treasure that we have, and we certainly should not squander it.
If I can make a suggestion to the board in terms of motions and the motion that was already passed last September, the 1968 programs that we identified, I think there are 170 in this batch that went to Philadelphia. There is no funding right now. I don't have the money in my budget. And I sent them anyway because I couldn't get a meeting to confirm that it was okay for me to ship those tapes and this is going to happen. So I must say I just did it anyway, and you can either fire me or fund it one way or the other, or help me or help me fund it. Yeah, but what I actually think should be done is that based on that motion, those tapes, this board should adopt and make sure those tapes are fully funded for digitization, and when we get them back, then I won't have to burden myself again to raise money to pay for them.
Well, I'm going to just interrupt on this. One of the things had to do with the funding mechanism that was in that motion was causing problems, and it had been my understanding that the Finance Committee was going to revisit not the intent to fund it, but the mechanism, because it had to do with, for example, taking funds off the top of some stations that might or might not have been able to do that. So I think particularly when LaVarne returns, we can talk to her about ensuring that the Finance Committee deals with the issue as a top priority, because I think the ball got dropped on that funding mechanism thing, and I think that's part of the reason it's been up in limbo. Ray?
Yeah. First, I have a remark here. I mean, I think there's a tremendous consensus that the archives are invaluable. It still doesn't make it easier necessarily. We can see that we have many fires all around. And so in spite of what was said, I don't think the decisions are very easy. I know that during the special period, for example, in Cuba, they had amazingly, you know, historical buildings that were not replaceable, and some of them were lost. But when they had to choose between milk for the children and the elderly, they chose to feed the population and lost some of those buildings. So these are some of the decisions that we have to make, and the priorities are not always as clear as the statements. I'm just puzzled as to, there was a statement here, apparently the resolution includes something about a cruise. And since the vote was supposed to be unanimous, I don't remember voting for cruise.
It wasn't part of that motion.
Okay. So can you clarify that for me?
Yeah. What was said at that time, what was said was that instead of the stations being assessed, the 25,000, that there were going to be board-sponsored functions that would, in fact, raise the similar amount of money. And it was a discussion going on among board members.
Okay, thank you.
Sarv had wanted to speak. Margaret, then?
Yeah, I wasn't on the board last year, but I'm a huge fan of the archives and always happy to fundraise for the archives. I think it is indeed a tremendous treasure, and it's the history of the movement for change in the United States over the last, you know, half century, if not greater. And I think anything that we can to ensure that this continues, that it is protected. And it is also a huge, you know, fundraiser. I mean, I during this last fund drive, when items were pitched from the archives, in fact, Democracy Now! Pitched it. I don't remember which one it was.
It was a collection of the first 50 from the vaults on MP3.
Yeah, so the other stations that are looking for, like, a good moneymaker, you know, this indeed was a very good moneymaker. So I would just suggest whatever we can to facilitate getting that money to the archives and supporting the archives moving forward, and also looking to see what else we can do to mint that treasure, not only for the archives, and also would encourage not only the PNB but the local station boards to become involved in helping to fundraise not only for local stations but also for the archives. Local station boards get involved in all kinds of things, but I have, at least in LA, I have yet to see much of a fundraising effort to actually support the stations and to support the archives. Thanks, Brian, and the whole archives crew.
I had a comment/question, and you know, there have been a number of things that have come up. It's not just the archives, it's the affiliates and the other, about how we've got these invaluable projects and we have to fund them all. And I'm beginning to get to the point to thinking that as a single organization built as we are, I'm not sure that we can take care of everything, and I think we really have to look at partnering with other organizations who share our values and may have complementary, you know, capacities. And I know that you had an approach with Google at one point. I don't know where that went, but I'm wondering whether it makes sense to think about you know, other organizations and their possible interest in funding some of the things we need to do. Are there any resource partners out there, organizations out there, who, for example, might be able to use or want to use things in the archives in a way that's consistent with our mission and values that we can get to help? And if you could just bring us up to date, if I recall on the Google thing, you said, although they were willing to pay to restore essentially the entire collection, we couldn't tell them that once they did that, they'd have the rights to use it or make it available. Is there any intermediate level relationship that might be possible, or what's the state of other possible resource partners?
Right. The Google thing just really did fall flat because of copyright, and because that the copyright research wasn't done. We couldn't tell them one way or the other whether it was open or not. So
would they be able to help fund some initial research that could have given them a clearer answer?
They're not taking meetings with me anymore, not answering my calls. But I will say there is development there. I mean, one really important example is the Ayn Rand Institute. The Ayn Rand Institute and Archive, we have from 1968, Ayn Rand was on WBAI doing 8 hours of commentary about the world around her. Ayn Rand speaking about the Columbia student strike as it happened. Ayn Rand talking about the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia as it happened. Now, this is the 50th anniversary of Atlas Shrugged's publication. So I invited the Ayn Rand Institute director over to the archives, and you know, we shared the material with them. You know, and so the obvious thing is that once the Ayn Rand Institute mailership, or people that go there, or members of it, whatever it is, you know, if we can get the information to them, that we can collaborate on a fundraiser. We can collaborate on a fundraiser with, you know, the Women in Film Foundation, because a lot of these materials are important interviews with women in film. That is important to our structure. What's extraordinary about the Ayn Rand thing is that politically, Ayn Rand was right of the left and left to the right. She was somewhere sort of outside the circles of all political philosophy. But what was extraordinary learning from the Ayn Rand Institute is that WBAI was the only place that Ayn Rand was allowed to speak that to an audience that she didn't invite herself. In other words, the only way that you could hear Ayn Rand speak in 1968 was either be part of the university in the classroom or go to a seminar that Ayn Rand actually put together herself. So when she went on to WBAI and spoke to an audience of unknown numbers, of unknown political philosophies, and unknown backgrounds, that was actually an important thing to her personally, and an important thing to the ideas of what WBI and Pacifica was about, letting different viewpoints on the air. So the instances are there multiple times, but it's that thing again. It's like, you know, there's not enough people in the archives, right, and there's not enough time in my life, right, to be able to develop those relationships. So it's not $300 donation, but it's a $30,000 donation. But I think that it's absolutely critical that we do that. This isn't funding a project. It's investing in a project that will pay off in the long run.
Right. We're just about out of time and, in fact, need to go to dinner, but Sarah's been waiting patiently, so you're the last speaker, Sarah.
All right, thank you.
Oh.
Brian, first of all, I want to thank you very much. I visited your archives last night, and it's absolutely impressive, absolutely impressive. The history that's there is just beyond belief how much value it has for this nation and for the world as a whole. It's really a great institution, and your efforts in going into preserving it, every one of your efforts should be applauded for doing that. We want to make sure that, from my standpoint, that you get a certain percent of our money going toward the preservation of it from our Pacifica Foundation. And, you know, in the past, we have taken different paths. Sometimes we said each unit should be self-sustaining, raise your own money, this and that. But since you don't have any airwaves, you don't have any transmitter of your own where you can raise money, you're going to need help. And I think it's up to us for all five stations to make sure, and the Pacifica National Main Office, to make sure that you're funded properly for preservation of it. And then it's up to us to raise funds. Boards do. They do raise funds and support the radio stations. I have a couple of small questions that I'm going to ask you. The first one is that when we have made a deal with BBC, reciprocals, some kind of a deal. What criteria did you use there to make that deal? You know, we are a nonprofit institution, and that might be the BBC calling.
Not the BBC. Sorry about that, folks.
And we are a nonprofit, and we are a very unique institution. Whereas British Broadcasting Corporation, it's a government-funded institution, and it has certain bent to it and certain programs to it. And I'm not saying that we should not make a deal with them. What I'm saying is that, did you have some criteria in your mind when you were dealing with them to make that exchange?
Not really. I mean, I don't really actually think it's a big deal. It really is just producers wanting to produce from the vault and take it to a UK audience. And so it's actually an equal sharing of things. Actually, so Joanne Griffith, the BBC journalist, all right, so here's the story. She's moving to America because she's getting married to an American citizen. The BBC doesn't want to let her go because she's that good. So they said, go to L.A. and find something to do. It just so happened. It just so happened that she came to the archive, and I gave her a tour, and I took her to that refrigerator, and I pitched it. And I said, what do you think about producing From the Vault for the BBC? She took From the Vault CDs, you know, all of them that we had done so far, and took them back to London. So the BBC reviewed all of the programs and actually bought and picked it up.
Fair enough. So
actually, for us to have a BBC journalist in our archive and in our offices, helping to train us to help us do the research, is an invaluable resource to me as a manager and a producer from the vault.
By the same token, if I were to ask you the other question would be, if tomorrow, from government in Venezuela, Radio Venezuela or Havana, Cuba, comes over to your vault, can you have the same kind of relationship with them?
I don't think I'm dealing with the government. I mean,
no,
I know,
what I'm
I,
saying
I know
is, one is a government institution, and the other one is a listener-sponsored radio station. And when we have to make a deal with this government institution, can I make a deal with this other government institution? And if I can, I can't. I should have some kind of a criteria. If somebody asked that question, it'd be a fair question to ask.
So the question is, what is my criteria to judge a country?
No.
Actually, his question was, do you have standing criteria for how you make such judgments, I think?
Personal judgment. That's all I can say. What do I think is the, you know, it's just me, man.
Okay.
You know, I just make the call. You know, if it feels good, I do it. If it seems reasonable, I do it. If it feels wrong, I don't do it. Yeah, I mean, this is what you have. You have a director that makes decisions based on what I know. That's all I can say.
No, we're not taking that away from you. But I, as a director, also have the right to ask you this, because it's important for us to know that.
Okay.
Because we...
So, I think all I got to say is integrity, man. You know, as I judge everything I've done since I've been there, it's all about integrity.
No, it's nothing personal.
And if anybody thinks of anything on the way home relevant to this discussion, there's always email to continue it on. It's dinner time. Is this quick?
No, I just wanted to make one last request. Is do you think that for the next meeting, or just communicating it to the PMB, you could come up with your opinion of our structure in Pacifica in relation to divisions, the burden, the responsibility of fundraising? I mean, we can see that there, our sentiments are cohesive and collegial, and we all want to help each other. But when it comes down to the raising of the monies, we do act very separately, very much as separatists, if you could put it that way. But concretely,
right.
If you can, you've been here long enough to come up, and I would like to see all of the division managers come up with something, because I don't think that this structure is serving us well enough, particularly in this economy.
What I can offer in the short term is the committee task force of the archives. You know, I've been dying for quorum or for a full committee to get on that phone, which I don't think has happened in, I don't know, 2-3 years. But what I would want to present to these people who want to come to the task force is to create a fundraiser in their city. I will work with Wendy to get Texas a fundraiser to raise funds so that the Texans can help fund part of this project. I want New Yorkers, whoever you are who are on the task force who don't show up, I want to work. Find a venue, find a library, find an archive to collaborate with. The Schomburg Center is perfect. You know, there's a lot of places that are no-brainers, and I don't understand why you can't even bring a simple idea to me to help you see it through fruition. You know, so in terms of, you know, what we can do to help raise, you can do it. Because, you know, I've got the power to give to you. I've got the gold coin to get you to duplicate it, to expound it, you know. You know, the archives is so golden, you cannot get anybody to say that's not a good idea. That's what I've learned over these years. Nobody will say saving the archives is a bad idea. You just have to take it upon yourself to take the responsibility to do something about it. And it's not that hard. You know, it doesn't take months and months of time to do a simple fundraiser party. That's all.
Okay, well, with that, Dave, we're going to come back.
Do you have a second to explain to Adil? I'm not familiar with the KPFA vote. That is, I'd like you to listen to
the
context.
We can talk about it during the finance report, okay, if you like. We now have a foreshortened dinner. It's buffet style. And the arrangement we have with the hotel apparently is a certain amount of food for what we've paid for. The request has been that board members and staff first go and get their dinner, and then after that, if listeners are here and they'd like to share in that once the board members and staff have eaten, they're more than welcome. If everybody could be in your seats really at 7:15, which means yes. 35 minutes. What, Michael?
Can you get a sense of the schedule for tonight and maybe
yeah,
tomorrow?
The schedule, we're going to go till about 2 a.m. And we'll be giving, there'll be opportunities between 11:30 p.m. and 1:30 p.m. for political grandstanding. Prior to the political grandstanding, we'll be having dry reports having to do with particular budget lines. That'll be the two. No, sorry. We're going to have, after dinner, we're going to have the finance report. We may delay technology till tomorrow, and then we'll have the station reports. 7:15 in your chair right here.